How do habits relate to culture? Strong cultures are supported through a deep sense of responsibility and ownership. This is where our habits come in. It is how we show up to situations, what we do, and what we say that, as a collective of people, will shape the organizations we are serving.
Welcome to Champion Read, sponsored by Champion Circle. Champion Circle is an organization dedicated to the accelerating of people's lives and businesses using mastermind methodologies and accountability. Today, we are joined by our founder of Champion Circle, Mr. John Kobach Jr., as well as the wonderful Lauren Cobb. And we are produced by Mr. William Blake and myself, Ian Sturmer. Today, we are discussing James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. I hate to say wrapping up the book because there's so much more and we'll be considering the book for years to come. But today is our last podcast on the book, Atomic Habits. And today, we wanted to really look at how habits define an organization and a culture and how we can build those habits from the beginning to create the culture that we want to, whether that's in a marriage, a family, a business, or just in our own personal lives. So as I was looking at this, I was kind of thinking habits might be kind of like the bricks that are used to build a building. We want to have a great, beautiful building or a cathedral, but we first need to get those individual bricks and start putting those in the right place. And that way we're able to build things the way we want to. So it's structurally sound as well as beautiful. And as always, I love to put examples and practical aspects into it. And I'm going to pull up my wife's example to start out with in a business side. So she was trained initially as an admin assistant. And the person who trained her taught her to do everything in a clear, defined, exact way. And the idea behind that was that if my wife didn't show up for work one day, her boss knew exactly what to do. She knew exactly what step it was on, what the next step was going to be. And she really set in her a habit of doing everything exactly the same way, A to B to C to D, with no variation whatsoever. Now, that might go against some of our creative mindset ideas that we share in Champion Circle sometimes. But let me just start out with that idea. If we build habits to follow a procedure that we want to, how is that going to affect our business, our culture in the business as we're growing? And I kind of want to throw out to you guys your opinion on this. Let me start out with that question. Is a habit going to be something that should be an exact habit? Which variation do we put into that? As I throw a curveball question that we didn't discuss beforehand. So what's the opinion? Are habits going to be things that are exact and unchangeable, or are they going to be things that we have to adapt a lot as we go forward?
I'll jump in there and just say, I think the obvious answer is absolutely
adaptability.
Yeah, there you go. That
adaptation.
One. Yeah. Adaptation or adaptability. That's really just life. Things don't always become automatic, and what becomes automatic is by choice. And there's two types of choices. There's the conscious choice and the unconscious choice, or maybe not unconscious is the right word. I'm mixing my words up today, but the subconscious choices. Conscious choices are the ones we clearly make decisions to do. And then the subconscious choices are the ones we do by default because of what we're surrounding ourselves with. So adapting to our goals is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, I'll add also into that adaptability seems like a skill most people don't focus on, but it's so crucial to have in family, in business, and whatever culture that you're working with. Because humans are humans. They're going to make mistakes. They might do something that might frustrate me, and that's their choice. But my choice is to be able to react on how it affects me. And a lot of people, and I know I've fallen into this in the past, a lot of people fall into like that victim mindset where they're just like, if this happened, if that happened, if this did not happen, then I could change my life, or my life would be better, or I wouldn't be in such a situation that I couldn't do so and so. And so having the opposite mindset of more of an abundance, or more of a just positive one, I call it reality because that's my standard in reality, but the going forward mindset of people will make their choices and that's fine. We make our choices and just take the punches and keep moving on.
I like that. Oh, sorry, Lauren, go ahead, please.
My husband and I were actually talking about this last night because we have a big gift for Christmas that's coming that my kids have wanted for a long time. And there was a stipulation, well, an incentive put on it a while back. And we've kind of been debating it as parents because we both have different opinions. And the stipulation was, if you guys keep your rooms clean up until Christmas, you'll get a Switch. And like all the games they've wanted, all that. And so we've got it waiting for them. And it's wrapped. But this last month, all three of our kids have kind of been slacking off on that. And yesterday, Ty kept saying, well, what are we going to do? Do they get it for Christmas? Do they, you know, they haven't kept their rooms clean. And I've been saying all along, if it's a gift, it's a gift. They don't earn it, right? You're giving it from the generosity of your heart. You give it without any strings attached. You have to disassociate yourself from those strings attached if it's a true gift. Said an incentive is different. So this is an incentive gift. I was like, so you can't. Anyway, we've had different opinions on how to give it. But we came to the conclusion in the last night that they'll get it for Christmas. It won't be under the tree. Dad's going to do something fun with it, like hide it or, you know, do a scavenger hunt to get all the pieces to it in the games. However, like we told them last night, we said, we had a little family meeting before bed, and we said, well, we've kind of been lax on the rules, and for any electronics time, and this starts tomorrow morning, your room has to be done and your chores have to be done every day before you get any electronics time. And that includes mom and dad's phones, the tablets, the Xbox, any gifts you get for Christmas. Like, that's what it is. And it's habits, right? Like, and I told him, I said, I've been lax in that because he is gone from the house until 5 or 6 at night sometimes, and then comes home and works more with clients. So it is on me a lot to follow through on those habits with the kids and to instill them. I said, I've been so busy that I haven't even done my own. Like, look at our bedroom, you know. I said, so I don't feel like we can come down harsh on the kids when I haven't been following through. And Ty's personality is very different. He's very, you know, he has his habits and he does them every day. me with my ADHD, habits are hard. Like, and it's one of those things. And so he's like, well, okay, they at least have to do this, this, and this. So in my brain, I was like, we can't give it as a gift with strings attached. So this is an incentive that they will be receiving on Christmas. And this is how they get to partake in that fun thing. So it's kind of interesting because I said, we as parents and me have to be there to instill this, you know? And he was like, well, at age 8, I was making my bed every day on my own. I was doing this and this. I said, great. That was because of your mom. Our kids have me as a mom. Like, and I don't even make my own bed every day. So it's just all those little things that I was like, we have to come to a middle ground on this because I have to be able to follow through with our kids on it as well, since I'm the one here with them and I cannot do it his way. So how do we still instill good habits?
I want to piggyback off of that, Lauren, because you're absolutely right. Like, what we may have been used to with other supervision or supervisors is not always what we will employ. It's something that you would expect due to the power of correlation, but still we have to have discipline within ourselves. I want to take this example though, like this and what Ian said at the beginning of the show here. I'm talking about how habits stack. And one of my favorite examples of how to imagine how habits stack is to imagine a lesson in geology. Okay. So let's go back to school for a second, open up your textbooks, and let's think about how the earth continues to grow or how the earth is formed. And if you think about it, underneath our feet right now is a bunch of rocks, dirt, and layers of sediment. And what happens over time is that there's a layer of lava that is hardened because it is cooled off from Earth's surfaces and everything else, and it is heated from underneath. But over time, I mean, this is how like fossils are created and everything else, dust, dirt, landslides, all kinds of things will fall onto the current layer. And depending on how strong, depending on how firm that particular layer of sediment or dust or whatever it might be, it becomes the foundation. And that foundation becomes the next foundation for the next foundation. And it keeps stacking up over time. And if you think about it, our goals are the exact same way. Our habits are the exact same way. If we put down really, really good, but small molecule based sediment in our habits, meaning we use firmer foundations, things that really fill in and create a hard brick-like foundation, then it's likely that our habits are going to stick. But if we start throwing rocks and creating a bunch of gaps in the ground and there's caves and caverns in our foundations, all of a sudden we're going to have a weak foundation for habits and creation. And it's not anything against our character or who we are, but there's a reason why sinkholes are created. And it's because when you add stuff in your foundation, like water, well, I feel like Bill Nye the Science Guy as I'm talking about this, but as you add like water and different variations of stuff that really mix up the soil and the sediment, all of a sudden you're going to have mountains form and valleys created. You're going to have sinkholes and caverns and destruction and landslides and all kinds of things that just create an uncomfortable situation in life. And it's nothing, again, to say about our character, but to wrap this up, it's good to know that when you stack a habit on top of another habit, recognize what good habits do I already do and start there. Because it can be so easy to get down on ourselves about like, well, that's how your mom does it. But this is me. I've got to lead our children. And I love your example because, and I'll finish with this, is you know, evaluation, like take a self-evaluation. If you can be critical, not constructive that it hurts, but critical about your own life, your own habits and your attitudes and so forth, you will start to see where you can improve. And it doesn't take the biggest transformation. In fact, I've seen people who take huge transformations and it really is hard for them to adjust. And sometimes it can be unhealthy. It can create bigger problems in the long run. But build foundations on fine, really nice foundations of sediment habits like brushing your teeth every day and taking the little things that lead to healthier gums and teeth and smile and breath and all that stuff that then lead to, well, I brush my teeth automatically so I can get other things done during the same time. It's one of my favorite topics. I literally could go on for hours about this stuff, but there are three other people here who have invited me on as their guests. So I'm going to yield my time up, but I thought the geology lesson was relevant.
No, I love that. It's a good one.
What you said brushing teeth, and I know I've said this over the last several episodes when we're talking about habit stacking. For me, every time I use the bathroom in the morning and evening, I'll go and stick my toothbrush in my mouth and then use the bathroom. And then it's already in there, so why not brush my teeth? So that's like a habit that I'm already doing. Yeah, it's a good habit. It's a good habit to use the bathroom. A good habit I'm already doing, and I just like go on to it. But something that you also said was with foundations reminded me of this coach that every year it was a coach that I don't think it was Super Bowl. I think it was the league under, but basically the championships. They've won championships several times, but every start of the season, the coach goes out with a whole team and says, do you want to know what this is? It's a football. And what do you do with the football? Well, you can throw it. You can kick it. Do you know what this is? This is the field. You can go. There are 10 meters apart. And like he just went over this fundamental groundwork for everyone. Because a lot of the times I fall short on this as well. It's nice to do the flashy things, the things that are impressive. And a lot of people jump to that first when the coach was just so diehard of no, learn the fundamentals and then build from there. Because even when you do the flashy stuff and it doesn't work, it'll still not harm the rest of everything that's going on because you have the fundamentals down.
Can I jump in with an opposing viewpoint to what John and William just said?
Yes.
I love the foundation of everything, but I tend to look at it the other side. What do I want to accomplish? What is my goal? Like Lauren said, the goal is for the kids to have clean rooms. So from there, what are the habits we need to build in them? And I'd say, I'm going to pick on Lauren's example here, that the habit you want to build is for them to clean their room early every day or to pick up as they're going along rather than wait till it's a huge mess. But if I don't have that end goal, yeah, if I don't have the end goal of I want a clean house, so let me reverse engineer that back to the foundation. I want to have this result. So what are the particles of dust that I need to lay down to create that strong geological foundation?
Everyone's foundation is a little different, you know, and that's where the adaptability comes in. I feel it's like I was telling him, I said, my mom, the way I grew up, we mopped the floor every day when we got home from school. We cleaned the bathroom every day when we came. I hated it. Sure, it was nice to have a clean house, but I felt like I've always been a little, I'm not messy, but I'm not tidy per se. And I felt like I couldn't be myself and just exist in that room because I had to be so neat. And my mom was that way. Like, you know, you're a lady, you act like a lady. We do this, we do that. And I felt like I could never be myself at home, you know? So I was like, I don't want to go to the extreme, but I want my kids to be able to live. And if we have to have this level of, you know, I asked Ty, I said, will you kind of give a little on yours and I'll work on mine so that we can have a happy medium because our foundations are clearly different.
I love that. And I want to jump in real quick with a kind of an open question based on that. So we have an end result we want, and we know that building good habits are going to give us that foundation. How do we decide what habits are a strong foundation to build and what habits are things that we just ingrained in us and you have to do it the way I say. Whether we're looking at a business or a family, the do it the way I say is probably not the most successful way to run anything. So how do we refine habits for different people when we're looking at building that culture? Yes, go ahead.
I think you have to define what a habit is, like you were talking about earlier, like with your wife. Is it a habit to do your job exactly like this every single day so somebody can come and step in? Or is that a system they wanted her to adapt to follow in case she wasn't there, that she could, her job could be done by anybody, you know? So what is a habit versus what is a system to follow?
That's a good question. Yeah. Thoughts, ideas.
Okay, you got me going on that. I'm just like systems, habits, responsibilities, standards, going back and forth. What I thought of is multiple things. Like one is figuring it out for yourself, and another is getting knowledge from other people or books and stuff. But the one that stood out the most was reverse engineering the end goal to figure out what needs to happen to get to where you need to go. Like I know for myself, I want to be one of the world's greatest speakers. So in order to do that, well, I got to get on paid stages. To get on paid stages, well, I got to do free stages. What I do got to do and get to free stages? Well, I got to speak at just, you know, local things or make my own stage to do it. How do I do that successfully? Well, I got to be a good speaker. How do I do that? Practice every day, right? And so it's like that just like reverse engineer thing of, okay, when it comes down to it, the habit that I need to do is practice every day. Am I going to see it on the daily basis? Absolutely not. But in the long term, I'm going to see myself improve, get the ums and ands and so's out, being able to be comfortable with pauses, and then do the rest of it to where I can reach the goal. So that's what comes to my mind.
My initial reaction to the question is simply two things. It's attitude and decision. Attitude is everything. Ian just talked about how the power of wanting something and heading in that direction rather than, you know, just building a foundation of good habits. You've got to decide what attitude you'd like to begin with and then make the decision to move forward in that direction. I have an attitude of eating healthy every single day, but I never turned down an opportunity to eat a buffalo burger with extra jalapenos and extra cheddar cheese. Like I know that's going to make me happy in a moment, but it doesn't ruin my progress. It doesn't ruin the foundation I've created. But I love the question, because if you have an attitude of this will help me, and you decide to go down that path, you will reap the consequences and the benefits of that choice. And that's one thing a lot of people get stuck on. You've heard of the phrase paralysis of analysis. Too many people don't make decisions because they're too terrified of the consequences and benefits. Consequences are good. Just because it sounds bad, it doesn't mean it's bad. But what happens when you decide is that you create an outcome, and all outcomes have benefits. And most people are caught in their own indecision. Therefore, they don't ever really create the habits necessary. And their attitude is always negative towards the experience and the journey of creating habits, because they have not had a really, really great experience altogether. Therefore, they're running on fumes, and they're not seeing the benefits. So recognize that benefits and consequences are equal.
Well, for me, a clean house meant my mom was riding my tail all afternoon. I didn't get to go hang out with friends, and I was just being hounded by her, right? Like, did you do it right? Go do this again. So to me, I'm like, I want my kids to come home and relax and spend time with me and enjoy being together and not worry about this tidy house the second they walk in the door. So it is, but I feel like, to answer my own question a little bit, that systems can help create habits, right? So given a system, my kids will pick up which habits they relate with the best, right? Like, how do they do it? I told Ty, for me, I don't want to go clean the kitchen first thing in the morning. I'm going to go exercise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Said I wait for the kids to come home. They unload the dishwasher as part of their chores and get that done. And then I load the dishwasher while they're eating snacks. You know, I was like, that's how I prefer to get the dishes done. Cause then we're all together right there. They see me working with them. You know, I was like, I'm not going to do the dishes first thing in the morning. And he's come to terms with that. I don't leave it a mess, but I'm not going to sit and scrub the dishes in the morning, you know, but giving a system, they will pick up which habits they like, you know, it doesn't have to be done first thing in the morning. But a clean kitchen is nice. So when are you going to get it done in the day kind of thing?
Or Ty could just clean the kitchen himself. I'm just kidding.
He does a lot. He does a lot. I will say that.
I'm just kidding.
No, I get it. He does the laundry because he's very particular. So I've just come. I will help get it through the washer and dryer here and there. But he folds it and puts it away because he likes that. So, no, we've definitely... I'd rather clean the kitchen than do the laundry.
People have their roles, their preferences, and their skill sets. I love
it. Right. But given a system, you know it needs to be done. You want it to be done because it does feel good to have a clean house. But how are you going to pick up the habit? Because I certainly didn't pick up the habit the same way my mom did, you know? So
I'm trying to work on a habit of also not folding the laundry. So I
your wife might not like that one.
No.
Discuss together.
Yeah. Well, we're getting kind of close to the end. So let me give everybody a chance for a last sound bite. Everybody gets an extra, you know, 30 seconds to kind of give your final points there. And I'm going to be dictatorial here and say William, John, then Lauren, and then I'll wrap up the last little bit. So what are your final sound bites for the last podcast of the year? William.
Last podcast of the year. Wow, that's crazy. No pressure. Yeah, no pressure. The last thing that came to my mind was what this whole thing is about and what Lauren touched on towards the end, which is each of us have our own habits that stick with us the most. And when I was talking with one of my friends yesterday, we were texting each other and I was talking about, oh, I'm not living in Idaho just because they kind of have like a more comfortable feel up there and they're not in a hurry to get anything done, not in a negative sense. And she came back and we went back and forth and I'm like, I'm just ambitious. And so I can't see myself living there. And it's just the nice summary of each of us have our own goals. Each of us have our own things that we're going towards. And each of us live in our own situations. And depending on what that is, depends on the systems that happen. The people involved depends on who does what. And so when it comes down to it, when it comes to a culture, work environment, or a family, having that discussion with everyone, figuring out who is going to do what systems need to be in place, what things we got to begrudgingly do if we're like the least hating of it. That's where the synergy happens. That's where things get done.
Thanks, Willie. My final soundbite. This is a message for James Clear, author of Atomic Habits. And James, I'm talking to you. And as I look you in the eye through this camera, I want you to know that you're changing lives. And something that I continue to implement and reiterate in my own personal practice through personal development, through my coaching, leadership, and training, is to take everything from the perspective of a scientist's eye and to see it from that perspective that everything that we're doing is to gather feedback, to create results so that we know how to make ourselves better, stronger, happier, more fulfilled. And I appreciate the work you've done to orate, iterate, and to create you know, tangible and legible solutions that people couldn't see before. And this also includes my message to the rest of those listening to this podcast. Grab a copy of Atomic Habits. It is an awesome book. I was very skeptical when I first picked it up, and I was thoroughly surprised when I finished the book and realized, wow, this gives me a playbook of options to decide on how I'm going to proceed moving forward. And I had so many different options that resonated with me that gave me more confidence in each step I took towards my goals and my habits. So congratulations to all of you in advance for the greatness that you're going to achieve in application of your own Atomic Habits.
That's awesome, John. Thank you, guys. I don't really feel like I have much more to say besides, you know, keep going and building our systems and our habits of good and that work for us, benefit you for the good.
I like that. I'm going to wrap up with a couple of phrases and words we used a lot during this podcast. So I think if we reverse engineer, what's our goal? And to get there, what are the systems that we need to put in place? And I'll throw in what Willie was saying as well, of bringing in the other people involved in it. And once we look at those systems, what are the habits we can build to further that system so it becomes an automatic system rather than something we have to focus and work on? Because I'm lazy and habits are great for lazy people because we don't have to work anymore. It's just automatic. And once we have those habits, then the last one is how do we create those habits through that really rewards and punishments to ourselves until we get that habit fully in place. And just keep in mind, those habits are the small little building blocks that are going to give us the life we want. As long as we take the time and the effort to create good habits that move us the direction we want to move in. Habits to systems to reaching our goals. So as a final one, as John pointed out, thank you, Mr. Clear, for writing this book and for allowing us to read it and discuss it and learn from it and grow from it. And thank you to our listeners out there. Again, this is Champion Reads. We are sponsored by Champion Circle, a networking performance organization. If you are in Utah and Colorado currently, we have live meetings going on, as well as virtual ones. You can find those at mychampioncircle.com. So please check that out. If you enjoy this podcast and have comments, we would love to hear how great we're doing. And if you think we're just way off mark, you can let us know that as well. Easiest way is to email us. Yeah, no.
We don't take constructive feedback.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at John. If you're not on camera here, John's got the, no, don't say it. Don't say it. But yeah, we love the, criticism as well, because if people only tell us good things, we're never going to learn. If we only hear what's positive, we'll never move forward. Quote that I love is, show me a man who never made a mistake and I'll show you a man who never learned anything. Original quote by me. So you can.
That's a good one.
Right there. Thanks. Yeah. Reach out to us. Questions, comments, ideas at info@mychampioncircle.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you would like to participate, send us a note as well, and we'll put you through a rigorous background check and decide if we think you're worthy of being on here. But we would love to get your opinions and voices. info@mychampioncircle.com. Again, thank you, everyone. And with that, we will sign off last book club of 2023. And excited to be back in January with more great books. And if there's books that you would love to have us talk about, again, send us an email at info@mychampioncircle.com. So with that, thank you, everyone. And we will see you again in the beginning of the new year.